Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Happy to have you with us this evening. Very happy. We had a really good Tuesday. rub that in a little bit. Okay, that's all the rubbing in I'm going to do. Welcome to your local liberal resistance headquarters. Thrilled to have you with us. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. I can't believe I've been doing this going on 6 years now. Who'd have thought? Oh, the liberals really try to get me off the air. They've been trying and trying and trying, and they fail like Kamala Harris. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330, by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of 6 years, don't forget to listen to the Carry On Commentary. That's my new 60-second daily feature hosted by me that's packaged up and can be heard daily, Monday through Friday, three times a day, right here on KNSS. Also, tomorrow morning, I'll be filling in for my buddy Ray Stevens up in KCMO in the Kansas City area. If you happen to be up in Kansas City, I'll be filling in. And I'm filling in for Steve McIntosh later this month, here at the end of the month, during the Thanksgiving break, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving, on the morning show with Steve and Ted. So lots of filling in. We'll be doing some more coming up here on KNSS on the morning show, so tune in for that. Other programming note, the Sedgwick County Republican Party is having their reorg. This Thursday, they'll be electing new officers. Make sure if you're a precinct person, that's coming up on Thursday the 14th, credentialing at 5:30. Meeting starts at 6 at WSU Tech. If you're a precinct person, you don't want to miss it. There's a very cool slate you want to make sure you're there for. Tonight, we've got a great lineup for you. The Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins, will join us in studio to review the incredible clean sweep Republicans had this week, not only maintaining but actually growing their supermajorities in both chambers. County Commissioner Jim Howell will be with us to explain why the County Commission is considering a new funding agreement that would provide $2.5 million to the Sedgwick County Zoo for a new elephant barn. I mean, I love elephants, but do we need to be using taxpayer money for that? Wichita City Councilman Dalton Glasscock will join us to expose some of the wasteful spending going on at the city council. And Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will explore how news coverage of the presidential candidates was the most wildly imbalanced in history, and yet Donald Trump won anyway. Gotta love it. You gotta love it. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but the left has been very busy this week trying to figure out, doing an autopsy, for lack of a better terms, figuring out how liberals with oodles of cash and all their allies in legacy media and Hollywood managed to bungle the election so royally. The answer is, for the past 8 years, the Republican Party has been having an honest conversation about the real things that ail us. You know, inflation, the hollowing out of rural America, the rise of China, the housing crisis, the opioid crisis, the crisis at our southern border, free speech, the decline of American power, the destruction of traditional values. That's what Republicans have been talking about. Democrats, meanwhile, have been talking about gender transition and a host of other worthless things. More to the point, it's what we cared about. Republicans have been talking about what Democrats and other voters, mainstream voters, what Americans care about, what the average American voter wanted to talk about. The Democrats, they haven't been talking about any of these things. The reason that the culture wars are so deeply offensive to so many voters is not that they're racist or transphobic. It's that voters want to know why, for example, reparations or gender fluidity is more important than putting food on the table. And this is why they lost. The Democrats preferred to call their opponents fascists, racists, misogynists, transphobes, and a host of other names, rather than actually listening to the issues that mattered to voters. Democrats didn't lose because they didn't spend enough money. God knows they outspent us. They didn't lose because they failed to trot out enough celebrity influencers. They lost because they were consumed by their own self-flattery, their own self-importance, their own self-indulgence. They should have spent the last 8 years learning from the Republicans' very honest conversation about the plight of America. But they instead insisted on talking to themselves about the things that made them feel morally superior. And that's why they lost on Tuesday. And they governed the way they swore their enemies would, shutting down free expression with their war on, quote, disinformation, politicizing the justice system, locking down schools. And worst of all, they did not appreciate the glaring dishonesty at the heart of it all. They pretended like, you know, don't believe your lying eyes. This isn't really happening, but it was. They seemed to think that Americans wouldn't mind that they had pretended Joe Biden was, quote, sharp as a tack. Remember that? That he was in full command. We all knew it. We all saw it. That they actually orchestrated a behind-the-scenes switcheroo, a coup, that the party had portrayed itself as the nation's answer to fascism, democracy, and then did the most undemocratic thing in history, nominated its standard bearer without consulting a single voter. No wonder they lost. Kamala Harris had never won a party nomination for president. They just figured that no one would mind. The most Americans would feel the way they felt, happy that they finally had a viable candidate to challenge Donald Trump. Well, it didn't work that way so well, did it? 312 electoral votes and the popular vote. Folks, it was a clean sweep. And the reason Donald Trump won, the reason Republicans won on Tuesday, is because Democrats were insulting. And it was deeply dishonest. And frankly, they got what they deserved. We'll take a quick break, and then Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will expose how news coverage was so biased it was the worst in history, and yet Donald Trump won anyway. You gotta love it. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. They are a community of millions of connected citizens and volunteers advocating for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the community's most critical challenges. Make your voice heard today. Join them. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Get involved. Get activated. Sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, news coverage of the 2024 presidential candidates was the most wildly imbalanced in history, favoring Vice President Kamala Harris over President-elect now, Donald Trump, by the greatest margin ever recorded. A new Media Research Center study found that ABC, CBS, and NBC news coverage was 78% positive for Harris versus 22% negative for Harris. For Trump, those numbers were flipped, just 15% positive and 85% negative coverage. With us now is Curtis Houck, my buddy from Newsbusters. First off, Curtis, how about them apples, brother? 312 Electoral College and the popular vote. Was that on your bingo card? Did you see that coming?
No, I am a nervous Nelly, John. I'm not, going into election day, I was like, I don't know, the media, I mean, I think some of us that have been around long enough, we know that we've had elections where we've thought we've had it, and then we don't, you know. Yeah. 2012 was one of them. I was a college student then, so maybe that's why there's a little extra PTSD on my end. You know, one of those, I traveled the state the whole day of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, my home state, making calls, doing doors all over the place for the party, and then it just...
I didn't see this either. I thought it was going to be close. I did not see the absolute butt-whooping. We'll be polite here, not get myself an SEC fine.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think that was why it was just really stunning to see. And, I mean, as you said in the intro, we had the most slanted coverage ever. My colleague Rich Noyes, he's been doing this quite a while. He joined the MRC in the early 2000s. And before that, he's at the Center for Media and Public Affairs, where he was doing similar studies like this, evaluating positive negative statements on the broadcast networks. The 63% swing between the Democrats topped 2020, 2008, 1992, 2004, all the ones since they started doing this, his former organization in 1988. So it's pretty stunning to see what Donald Trump overcame to achieve this.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, because at the very end, you know, John, a week ago, we were sitting here, you could sit here talking about this Liz Cheney thing, where like the Russian bot troll farms must have been in awe of the disinformation campaigns that the liberal media were, you know, undertaking. Like, the whole thing about like firing squad, like what in the world is this?
Right,
like, right.
It
must have been like nobody. Damn. Like,
and you really noticed this? It in the last week to 10 days. I mean, 2 weeks before the election, they were at least trying to pretend. But when the things started tightening up, or rather when it didn't blow open, when Harris didn't start to take the lead, I started sensing there was just this outright panic in the media. They're like, wait a minute, how come Harris isn't winning this? How come she isn't pulling away? And that's when this just openly, I mean, they were, especially on MSDNC TV and the others, they were just flat out lying in order to try and prop her up, because they couldn't move the polls.
Well, if you recall, I mean, yeah, it was, and for me, it was like the New York Times needle, like when the New York Times needle kept going up and up and up to Trump. And it was still pretty early in the night. We're not talking like midnight Eastern or anything crazy,
right,
like
right.
that. But it was well into the 70s, pushing 80%. And then, yeah, it kind of stayed there. Once you cross midnight Eastern, you're like, sheesh, you know, like we just don't see it there. They're not calling these states. And yes, Fox News and News Nation with Decision Desk went out on a limb and really made that first call. You wonder, like, what were they? They were just in shock. That's probably why they didn't call the election until 5:30. They all called Pennsylvania, but they all held off on these other smaller parts, you know, Maine and Alaska and some of these other things until they made it official at, around 5:30 Eastern time, which is pretty remarkable. Well, many hours after everyone else did as well. I mean, that just goes to show maybe they were just panicking. They were not prepared for this scenario, because you know this, you go through rehearsals. You can do a little bit of rehearsing,
right?
Preparation for your monologue and whatnot. And these networks folks do this as well. And I don't think they were prepared for the outcome that there was.
No, clearly. We're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Then the other thing I've noticed, which has actually been kind of fun to watch. I mean, I I will be honest with you. I don't think I have ever watched. Well, in fact, I know I've never watched a complete episode of The View, but I did tune in on Wednesday. And then I've also subsequently watched a little more of CNN and MSNBC since then, just to watch how the media has completely come unglued over the defeat. It's been actually fairly amusing to watch. And what's been particularly amusing is the blame game, because now they're right. they're in full blame mode.
Oh, yeah, it's this person's fault or that person's fault or America's fault. The View, you know, Sunny Hostin claiming that her daughter has less rights now than she does in America. Yes. It makes it was so pathetic. And you had Alyssa Farah Griffin, who admitted that she voted for Kamala Harris, which, of course, yes, we know, try to slink back to the ship by trying to explain to people why this happened and how we need to change and everything else. Like, you could see her slowly trying to get back in the good graces of people on the right. No, we cannot allow her to do that.
No.
Which is why I'm glad the Trump team's Twitter account blew open a public secret that I had and many others had, that the reason that she left the White House was not, in fact, because she was dissatisfied with Donald Trump, is because she got drunk and public drunkenness and thrown out of a bar with Olivia Nuzzi, of all people. And Mark Meadows was like, you're done. So they tweeted that out a couple weeks ago when she was mad at the garbage truck thing.
Well, I remember that.
With Trump. But I'll put it this way, John. I think better use of that time and that time slot, we should, when they find the monkeys in South Carolina, they should put the monkies on the view. Yeah, we should place them with those monkeys, those research monkeys, because it'd be more compelling television than what we just witnessed.
Having watched that little episode of The View, I think they already have replaced them with monkeys. But Curtis, you know, the other thing I've noticed is now the conversation has shifted to this phrase, and you kind of alluded to it, is what's wrong with America? The funny thing is Democrats just, they're still not getting it. I mean, demographic, Donald Trump picked up votes, every subgroup in every demographic.
Right. It's what do Democrats need to do better next time? It's kind of, it is a strategy session. It is not, why did you lose? It's like, what do Democrats need to do going forward? You know, so really, it's kind of subtle if you don't really think about it too much, but it is the wrong question, you know, and that's really the issue. Instead of what's wrong with us, how did we miss this? The answer should be, that's what it should be. But instead, right. It's like, well, what do we need to do to change our messaging? We've heard this before when Democrats get shellacked on. It's always like, well, we didn't present.
Exactly. We didn't communicate well enough.
We didn't package what we've done. Well, no, maybe it's a deeper issue.
Maybe it is what you did that caused you to lose the election.
Not just how, what you said and how you said it. Our views are fine. Actually, no. You look at it in Philadelphia, right around 11 Eastern, CBS was pointing out that some of these precincts in Philadelphia, Hispanic precincts, were moving 6 to 8 points towards Donald Trump. That is stunning, and that is remarkable. And I just have to say, as well, as a Pennsylvanian here, I'm enjoying Bob Casey refusing to concede the election because he's like, we need to count every legal ballot and provisional ballots and all this other stuff. He's actually losing votes. He's not gaining votes. So he's like, I'm not conceding. We still haven't counted all the votes yet.
Yeah.
Yes, you're actually losing votes. You're not gaining votes in the provisional ballots.
That's okay. Stacey Abrams still thinks she's governor of, Georgia.
They blew the doors off of every, you know. it was Georgia, I think, again, is just a model there for easier to vote, harder to cheat, and, you know.
Yeah, totally despite the fact that they said for years. Despite the fact that they said for the last 4 years that Republicans have changed that law to make it harder to vote, sure enough, that wasn't the case. Curtis, I appreciate you as always, brother, for your insights. Congrats. Thank you again for delivering Pennsylvania for us. If folks want to follow you guys, you've got some great research, especially that data on the biased news coverage. They can find that information at newsbusters.org.
Yep, at Newsbusters on X, Twitterverse, at the MRC, and I am at Curtis Houck. We've got way more to go, folks, so
Appreciate you. By the way, hey, what's your prediction? Republicans hold the House?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably going to be the same margin, you know, with like 222 or whatever it is, where you've got like a three-seat majority or something like that.
That's okay. We'll take
it. That's where we're at.
We'll take it. Curtis, I appreciate you. Thank you again, my friend.
Carry on.
We'll take a quick break, and then Kansas Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will be with us in studio to review the clean sweep Republicans had this week in both the House and Senate. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman. And no, by the way, it is not too early for Christmas carols. Did you miss a part of last week's show? Don't worry about it. We post clips from all shows on KNSS.com. You can always download as well the Odyssey app and get started. You can get all our stuff there. Just download the Odyssey app. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and get in latest updates on the show there. Well, we had a historic election, huge victories. We had a clean sweep in the House and Senate, actually gaining seats. With us now, not to gloat, but to give us just a summary, is the Speaker of the Kansas House, Dan Hawkins. You're not the Grinch, by the way. I think that's the little lady on the second floor. Dan, thank you for joining us tonight. Congrats.
Well, not to gloat, I wouldn't be wearing a Denver cap.
Hey.
How about them Chiefs?
Oh, gee, many Christmas. I thought you said not to gloat. You know, by the way, Phil's also a Broncos fan, so, you know, unless you want to be thrown out on your arse, you might watch yourself tonight. Well, I think the two of us could take you, even though you get your arm in a sling. So.
That's right.
All right, so let's start with this. This is, so on the 6th, so the day after the 312, I mean, the massive sweep, you guys swept. It was a big night both nationally and in the state. Laura Kelly goes to Twitter. And she tweets out, quote, "Congratulations to the newest members of the Kansas legislature." Okay, that's nice. That's nice. She's being nice.
Oh, it gets worse.
And then she says, "I look forward to working with you to deliver what Kansans want most." Okay, all right,
yep.
All right.
Yep.
"Expanding access to affordable health care."
Medicaid expansion.
Medicaid expansion. "Protecting women's reproductive freedom."
Abortion,
right. "And lowering the cost of living for all hardworking Kansans." Keeping in mind, she vetoed how many tax bills?
Four tax bills.
So, I mean, talk about, I mean, she spent how much money trying to knock out you guys?
$2.1 million she spent. And what did she get?
Nothing.
She took out Vic Miller, her own guy.
A Democrat, yeah.
A Democrat.
I mean, talk about someone who is out of touch. That's her tweet, is, "I want to work with you on my agenda," and you just won three seats in the House, grew your majority in the House by three and the Senate by two.
So realistically, I mean, you know, of course, everybody says, well, why did we win? There are several reasons, and I can also tell you several reasons why they lost. Why they lost is because they weren't paying attention to what the people wanted.
Exactly, yes.
So the centerpiece of their whole campaign was protecting women's reproductive rights. That was the centerpiece. And it's settled.
Right. That's not what I was going to say. They've done that. It's
value
done.
Them both was soundly defeated. The courts have settled it.
Whether we like it or not, it's done in Kansas.
And what is the most important piece as you go throughout the state? Because we did. We had a ground game that's unbelievable. We had the best ground game we've ever had since I've been there. We knocked over 170,000 doors. And what did everybody want?
Property tax relief. Thank you. Yes.
Property tax relief.
I know. My wife and I, between the two of us, probably knocked, I mean, I don't know, we weren't keeping track, but there were weeks that we were doing 500-600 doors a week.
Absolutely.
Nobody ever brought up freaking abortion.
No.
Nobody.
No.
And we were not doing Republicans. We were doing swing voters,
undecideds.
It wasn't coming up.
And the problem they had was is the middle of the road pack, the governor's pack, and oh, by the way, if you stand in the middle of the road long enough, you get run over.
Yeah, exactly.
What they did was they made it really salacious. They went over the top. They were saying things that was just so absurd that the voters, they saw through it. And they say, this is just bunk. And
well, talking about abortion bans. Yeah. Like, well, you guys.
Well, and rape and all kinds of things. Gosh. I mean, it was just, it was horrible, the things that they were putting out. And our folks, what did they do? They stayed on message. Every time that would come up, they would say, that's settled. We want to talk about property tax. We want to talk about inflation, affordability, crime. Those are the things that we talked about, and that really resonated with the voters across the gamut, including Johnson County.
Yeah, I mean, when we were knocking, and in particular, because, you know, my wife and I were helping out with AFP, and they were helping us target some of those districts. Unfortunately, like, Seligman didn't win. A tough race. You know, he was running against Henry Helgerson, an entrenched Democrat. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, again, swing district. We're working on swing voters and undecideds, probably some Democrats. In fact, a number of the doors that we were knocking were lean liberals.
Right.
And even they were talking about property tax reform. Some of them were talking about the transgender issue.
Sure.
They weren't talking about abortion.
Not at all. And even in my district here in Wichita, I actually had a race this time. Guy that ran against me actually went out and worked hard, sent out a lot of lies in his mailers.
Imagine that.
But he was still doing the things that he needed to do to try to win. He did some Facebook. So he really worked. He worked hard, spent quite a bit of money. But he, too, spent all of his time talking about two things, abortion and Medicaid expansion. And what we did, we went to those doors, and consistently we heard the same things, taxes, property taxes, and even Democrat doors. We would even have Democrats. We had Democrats that voted for us. I don't know if they'd ever voted for us before, but they voted for us this time. Because the message that the Democrats were using was just old, worn out stuff. Nobody believed it anymore.
Well, and I think even they realize Medicaid expansion is, first off, it's unaffordable. And the other issue is it's just not a high priority when you can't put food on the table.
That's absolutely right. People rent. Rent's high. You know, houses are unaffordable today. There's a lot of things that are just totally unaffordable. How does a young person coming out of college even afford a house today?
Right.
Well, can't. Yeah, it's impossible because, you know, if you want to live in a nice house, it's going to be $200,000 and up.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. And it's a lot higher than that now. So, yeah, the affordability issue is probably outside of the property tax. The affordability issue was second most. And then also something that really was talked about a lot at the doors by people, of course, is the border and the security issue. The fact that, you know, there are people being killed in the United States by the immigrants that are coming, the illegal immigrants that are coming in. I think President-elect Trump is correct. You know, it's like some of these nations just opened up their prisons and said, go to America.
Well, and even in, and I know, by the way, we're talking with Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins. In one of the districts that Marlene and I were knocking in, I remember we talked to an immigrant who had come to the country legally, was a citizen now,
right,
able to vote, took her 12 years, as I recall, to get her citizenship, went through the system, did it legally, and she was talking about how she'd seen buses coming to dropping them off in her neighborhood, and how that frustrated her. And I'm thinking, you know, well, that's Laura Kelly for you, because she's encouraged that with these NGOs, and, you know, that's Donald Trump, or that's Joe Biden and Laura Kelly encouraging that and bringing them into your community.
No, absolutely. It security is a big issue today. Making sure that we're supporting our law enforcement. Our first responders, all of those folks, you know, I think we here are just a little bit better insulated than some of the other states.
Yeah,
the border states certainly have the biggest problem, but we do have some of it. And our immigrants that are here legally absolutely despise, you know, the open borders. They and that's something that's changed over time.
Yeah,
you go back a few years ago, they were a lot more protective of that. Now they're saying, hey, this is wrong. They need to come in just like we did. We need to have a good immigration policy. And I hope that with President Trump and both houses of both the Senate and the House, that we'll get good policy put in place and we'll secure the borders.
Do you mind sticking through? I got a break. You mind sticking through the break? And then I want to talk a little bit about what you're going to do with this shiny new supermajority.
I was going to jump into that.
Let me take my break, and then we'll come back. We've got Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins with us. We'll talk about what he plans to do since it sounds like a mandate to me. We'll look at judicial selection, electoral reform, budget changes, administrative changes, what he's going to do with that shiny new supermajority when we get back. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity. They're a community of millions of concerned citizens just like you. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're at it, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
Well, now it is time, maybe past time. Where in the world did the Dems think they could insult the masses and win an election? Okay, the shiny object didn't win. Dems will never stop giving their opinions on false claims and lies. It was a landslide victory per Reagan. Okay, here is reality. President-elect Trump must engage as we know he will. The Honorable Mike Pompeo deserves a front-row seat in the Trump administration. His stint as Secretary of State was our nation's best. He is a real leader. I hope he is willing to serve once again. He will do our country proud. We conservatives have the wheel. We must show our mettle. Leadership is Mike Pompeo. We deserve the best of the best. Secretary Pompeo is just that leader.
And, you know, Dan, we're speaking with Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. If obviously we've heard now that Trump won't be considering Mike Pompeo for the cabinet. But, you know, Mike Pompeo is now being considered maybe as a gubernatorial candidate. People trying to encourage draft Pompeo.
Certainly, I guarantee you there have been some calls made. I'm not sure that will happen. Who knows? I would love to see it happen. I think it would be a good thing. I think Mike would be great back here in Kansas leading us after he, you know, delivering us out of 8 years of bondage with Kelly. you know, I'm a little bit of just there, but you know, we've got an opportunity here. We've had the supermajority ever since I've been there. Sometimes it's been a real big supermajority, sometimes small. This last 4 years, we've been at just one extra, so it's been pretty slim. When we started this year, this campaign season, I remember saying, you know, the press was all saying, hey. Governor's coming after you, and she did. She brought $2.1 million and then another $660,000 from the ACLU against us. We went out there and raised a lot of money ourselves. We did not match her, but we certainly had enough money that we could really work hard. I said back then when they were saying that they were going to take us out, I said, no, I don't think so. I think we will stick to our message. We will do well. We'll have a great ground game, and we will end up having – two extra when we come back. Well, it's off. We got three extra. So we're at 88.
The Senate got two extra.
They did. So they'll be at 31. So that is a pretty good advantage for us. The governor will probably be unhinged. I expect the governor to really work hard at vetoing everything that we could possibly want. This time we've got the numbers where we should be able to override most of what we want. There could be some things that maybe we can't override, but for the most part, I think we'll be very successful at the override. Governor hates being overridden, so don't veto so much, Governor.
So what do you think? I mean, if you're a betting man, and if you're say, well, I don't know, Speaker of the House, and you have the ability to control some of the agenda. Oh, wait a minute, you are Speaker of the House. Are we looking at things like finally tackling judicial selection, electoral reform? I know you've already talked about change. You're already going to do the changing the budgetary process. Maybe looking back at that rules and regs constitutional amendment that we tried last year. Is that the kind of stuff?
Yeah. So
fundamental changes.
There are going to be some fundamental changes. The budget's the biggest one, and we're working on it right now. We are taking back the budgeting process. The governor still produce a budget, but we're going to have our own budget, and we'll work from our own budget. And of course, that's kind of got the governor unhinged as well. She doesn't like that. But you know, I tried to work with her last year, and she refused. She didn't want to work with us on budgeting. So I said, let's do it ourselves. So that's a big thing. Probably one of the first things we do when we get back, I would say absolutely the first thing is we will have a property tax relief bill. She vetoed every single one we had last year.
She's officially said she will veto that.
She has said she will veto any property tax bill we bring. And
why?
Because she's the governor. She, you know, hear me roar. You know?
But I mean, she has to know the same thing that people want it. Why? What's her reason for vetoing?
Well, I don't think she. How much does she listen? I mean, if you look at what's happened over the last 2 years, we've overrode her on a lot of things that the people wanted overridden,
like transgender.
There's a whole long list, and undoubtedly she doesn't listen to the people of Kansas, because if she did, because she is the leader of the Democrats. And she set the tone for the Democrats. The Democrats across the state used the same message, and it was the governor's message. And so I believe the people of Kansas spoke against the governor finally and said, you have went too far. And she has. She has went way too far. She talks about us being extreme. I don't believe we're extreme at all. She has the extreme policies. She has those extreme ideas out there, and it's up to us, and it has been, to push back against those. Hopefully, in 2026, we'll have a Republican governor, and then we can get a few more things done.
It is kind of crazy when you think about it. I mean, what's the surplus up to now? $4 billion?
Almost $5 billion.
$5 billion in surplus, and she's not willing to do some property tax.
It's ridiculous. In our,
it's not like you need the money, Gov.
Well, and our revenue continues to come in over estimate. So why?
Yeah. I guess I don't understand why she's out of hand without even seeing the bill. She's saying I'll veto it. I won't take it.
No, she's going to do that, and we're going to override it. I guarantee you that will be the first override.
Sight unseen. She's
saying it. Yeah. And we'll override it early on in the session. So we will have a veto and override probably by early February.
Well, I will be in Topeka. The John Eck at Eck Insurance is sending the show to Topeka next year. So we'll be broadcasting one Sunday a month from Topeka. I hope I'm there when you do that.
Wow. I'm going to have to tell John Eck, thanks for doing that. I didn't realize he was sponsoring you.
He's sending us to Topeka one Sunday a month. So yeah. I'm hoping I'm there on the nights you do that.
Well, you just need to make sure that you're there.
I will do that. I can pick the night.
That's right.
And we're going to be there when you go into session on the 13th, 14th, something like that.
13th of January.
We'll be there that night. Yep. So we'll be there that Sunday night, and so that way we can be there for the start of session the following Monday. So we'll be broadcasting from the Jason Watkins is a beer wholesalers area. So we'll be down there. We'll broadcast from down there, I'm looking forward to it. But I'm going to make sure I try and time these so that it's when you guys have something fun going on.
Sure, absolutely. No, it's going to be. I think it's going to be a dynamic year. I think we're going to get a lot done. We've got 21 new freshmen. So we've got to get them brought up to speed just as quick as we can, and we will do that. We work with them very, very well. I think across the board we're going to have really a great group of freshmen, and our body is going to be better than it's ever been. We're not going to have two Republicans that stop us
like you did last time. Yeah. Yeah, Ty had that problem too. Yeah. Are you expecting any leadership changes, or do you think both chambers probably have the same leadership teams?
So So, well, no, there's always a chance for change. I do think in the House, the assistant majority leader is really the race that everybody's gunning for. You know, Les Mason.
Oh, that's passed away. Love, yeah, my dear friend Les.
Yeah, and so we've got three folks that are running for that. That's the big race.
Do I know them?
Yeah, it's Barb.
Barb Wassinger.
Wassinger, Kyle Hoffman, and Clark Sanders.
Okay, yep, I know all three. Yep. Okay, and then I know in the Senate, there's Larry Alley, who is currently the majority leader. From what I understand, our friend Chase Blasey has announced.
That's
so
right.
There's Chase is my state senator, as a matter of fact. So there's a challenge over there. Well, Dan, I appreciate you. I'm coming up on my top of the hour break. 30 seconds real quick. The majority report. How do they get to it? You got 10 seconds.
Go to Dan Hawkins, Kansas. Kansas is spelled out .com.
All right. Jim Howell will be with us coming up here in just a second. We'll be back right after this.